coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Always get what we want. That song is going through my head. Hey, folks, welcome to Hagman. It is Thursday. You ready for this? August 1st. How the time is flying. I mean, think about how many days between now and the election is going to go like wildfire. It's Thursday, August 1st, 2024. And another 4.5 months. It'll be Christmas.
Snow will be flying.
No snow, please. But here's the thing. It's warm and now, because it's summer, obviously. But a lot of things going on. I am so pleased. Okay, the last time that we had gotten together on air was June 20th. It's man, that's too long. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, Gen 6. And of course, I'm telling you right now, in Renaissance Precious Metals, let me tell you something.
You'll finally stop getting emails.
Yes. Demanding. People are demanding proof of life. Now we not just proof of life, but we have them. Or now this could be his body double. This could be the 6-inch taller, Steve Quayle.
We're going to make him show us his ears.
Show us the lobes, detached lobes or not. I don't know. Before I bring him on. Okay. See, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission, all right? So in that vein, and folks, go easy on him. The guy's been rode hard, put away wet. He's underwent some surgery. He'll tell you about it, maybe. But here's the forgiveness versus permission part. It would be a shame if everyone wished Steve Quayle a happy birthday tomorrow. It would be. I'm just saying.
His turn to get all the emails.
There you go. I just want to wish my good friend, I feel like he's my brother, Steve Quayle, a very happy
birthday.
Might
not be your friend after saying that.
Maybe not. But again, permission, forgiveness, which is better. All right. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. The title for this episode is going to be something along the lines of the U.S. political scene being the theater of the absurd, and that is leading us into damnation. So with that, I'm going to bring Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. And again, hey, be easy. Go easy on him, folks. It's been rough. Steve, how are you, sir?
Good, Doug. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for your prayers. Obviously, you've noticed I haven't been on Q Files. I want to thank Pastor Benjamin Faircloth, Pastor Jonathan Sosa. I want to thank Tyler. He's doing a great job. Everybody who's been standing in, filling in, I think that you got a blessing in that because you're getting multiple perspectives. And I obviously understand they're not me, but I'm not them. And it's a threefold cord, the scripture says, isn't easily broken. For those of you who wondered why I disappeared, I had to have full knee replacement surgery on the 10th of July. And due to an unfortunate set of circumstances, the night I was released, early morning, I had so much painkiller in my system that I basically just collapsed. End of story, I hit my head. They rushed me to the hospital. I had a brain scan, which, good news, Doug, I have a brain. And the blessed news is that there was no brain bleed. And as someone who understands the blessing of intercessory prayer, thank you from my heart. And again, thank you for all of those who have been praying for me. I just got a really nice letter from a lady who said she went through knee surgery, I think 1 or 2 years ago, and she said, people don't understand, and I'm not asking for sympathy, I'm just telling you, the recovery period for total knee replacement surgery, you're in for something when the doctor, before he says, be really thinking about this, because he said, you'll hate your life. And this is what very famous knee surgeon, thousands of operations, he said, you'll know you'll hate your life for the first 2 weeks. Well, he was a little off. I hated it after the first week. You know, I mean, it's kind of a really rough period, because if you don't stay in motion, you don't stay fluid, and I'm like, you know, fluid doesn't fit my physique. You know, you've got a lot of, how should I say this? You pay for it. But that's given me a lot of time to reflect, obviously, on the things of God, what to bring the people of God, a word fitly spoken, season, the scripture says, how pleasant it is. So, by the way, if you see any pain or anything, it's just that I'm fighting the ramifications of going through total knee replacement. They said you don't really start getting it together for 4 to 6 weeks. And so, again, I'd really welcome your prayers for an accelerated healing. And I mean, actually a miraculous healing. And I had no choice. It was either this or, you know, worse, because again, everyone said, well, you have a choice. Well, look, I prayed about it. I did it. If it wouldn't have been for this, I couldn't walk. And it's not... melodrama or anything. I just thank the Lord. So going on, I plan to be back in the saddle, even with some sores, and back on my cue files and doing what I need to do. But I want to thank those of you who have granted me the grace. To those of you who have just been so gracious to me, for those of you who have still kept your giving going so that, you know, the vets were helping and the families were helping. And, you know, I sometimes I don't want to read letters from the people because they tear your heartstrings out. What do you say to a man? One of them were helping. And thank you, Brother James, that, you know, basically congestive heart failure. His wife has got blood clots, on and on and on. And three little girls, you know, if it hadn't been for the generosity and the moving of God on the Spirit of God in people's hearts, you know, we redeem no one, but God allows us to be the instrument of redemption for as many as we believe him for. So, ladies and gentlemen, today's subject matter is a really important one. You know, I coined the term kind of in a pig Latin form or whatever, just a bastardized Latin form. And I don't, you know, if you're offended by that word, you can turn it off now, the podcast. But the thing is that this whole theater of the absurd, this whole circus distracticus, this whole political scenario, the surrendered rights without fights, and I'm talking moral fights, fighting for the little ones that couldn't fight for their own lives. This isn't a guilt statement. I'm just telling you that we have come to the point where the intercession can be for family, friends, the people of God, but there is no turning this nation around. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The answer is nothing, nothing, nothing. But when God judges a nation in his holy judgment, he always sets a line of, what would you say, differentiation between those who are being judged and those who will obey him to flee the judgment. We're told to come lock ourselves away until his indignation is past. I think, Doug, the tragedy is, and I'll give it right back to you for a minute, there is no, how should I say this? There has been no call for repentance a decade before we arrived at the point we're at. There's been no orchestrated, and I mean peaceful, telling people, look, stand, stand, stand. But we were so blessed. And unfortunately, when you get blessed without gratefulness, it turns into a form of, this is my word, narcosynthesis. That means an unrealistic reality. And in essence, it's an anesthesia. It basically separates us from the real world of pain and suffering. I said the other day, I believe it was, it doesn't matter when I said it, but this is important. It's not about how much money we have individually who are listening to this. It's about how much money everyone else doesn't have. And I say this, I am far from a bleeding heart liberal, but I am a crying heart follower of Jesus, and this is breaking my heart to see what's happening to families, to children. And when you read about, and I'm not going there today because I don't want to vomit on my computer screen, but when you read about the horrific witchcraft, satanic killings, and the satanic ritual abuse of children at the Olympics, and those hideous, vomitous, hellish excrement of a opening ceremony. If you saw my front page, you guys, I'm serious. I said, may the Lord God of heaven rain fire from heaven down on that. Because I keep asking Doug, the Lord, where is Elijah? And Lord, I know you said before your second coming, you're going to turn the hearts of the sons to the fathers. But God, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I, for one, get as mad at me for certain words as you want. But I'm fed up. I am totally fed up with the assault on God, with the assault on Jesus, with the mockery of the Last Supper, with the mockery of those bastards on TV. By the way, I don't watch Kimmel or the Triune Spear Tip of Hell. What is it? Jimmy Kimmel and two of the other guys, Stephen Colbert and some other guy that's a midnight or late night host. But I'm tired of them taking jabs at my brothers and sisters. I'm tired of people thinking that if you are a Christian, how can you as a Christian, how can I as a Christian, believe there's a political solution to a spiritual problem? And then if Christians are believing, and I'm not saying they're not Christians, I'm just saying that this thing's going to turn around politically, show it to me in the Bible. Show me where there's fruit of repentance. Show me where there's a concern. And I got to tell you, Doug, it's silence. Go ahead there, sir, if you would, a minute.
Yeah, no, everything you said, I'm right there with you. And again, folks, Steve Quayle, after an absence of since June 20th. But back, and I'm so glad to have him back. But what you mentioned, what we're seeing right now is the attack on Christianity. It started with, obviously, with the FBI, with the three-letter agencies, with the government declaring war on Christians, and then white Christians, and then anyone against of it. Well, it's always been anyone against or pro-life. Any person that's been pro-life, all of the good godly things. The attack on the nuclear family, and then it's gone from there to the absolute in-your-face mockery, as we saw with the opening Olympic ceremonies, and the transgender agenda, which is rooted in really the occult and the Baphomet being the androgynous symbol. All of this is rooted in the occult. It's an attack on Christianity. And we have, in my view, as Christians, we have to stop being victims. We have to stand up and say, no, we're not going to take this crap. And I don't know how we deal with that in the physical, except for like the Olympics. Well, you just don't buy. I mean, you don't support the sponsors. You don't watch. You don't give them any. I mean, you shut them out. But we have to be more, I think, more true to our faith. Yeah,
more proactive.
Yeah. Yes. Go ahead.
No. And Doug, I think that's critical. I don't mean to interfere with your thought process. But I want people to recognize one thing, and this is the biggest point, I think the greatest disconnect, and I'm going to distill it, okay, with the best still and the best mash out there. By the way, I don't know how to, bootleg, but I admire the people that do. The essence of what we're seeing is a holy God putting his time finish, the finish line for a nation that has turned reprobate, that has turned perverse. And I was reading Jeremiah 50 and 51 today, and that's where depending on which translation, but disgusting behavior of the children of Israel being destroyed, obviously, by Babylon. And what's interesting to me is that there's death all around us. You know, when I first came to Jesus in 1972, I read a book by I think it was Francis Schaeffer, Death in the City. Okay. And I'd encourage everybody to read that, because in essence, death in the city, there's nothing but death. And when you hear these 15-minute cities, that's all bogus, lock you up. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not about persecution. It's about the coming slaughter of Christians. And Doug, this is the thing that is the hardest for me to communicate. I live in Bozeman, Montana, or as the articles now, it's becoming known, and everybody knows this, Bozangeles. But why? Here's something interesting. Why on Sunday will we have the biggest military transport aircraft, I think C-5s, that's the bigger, they're not C-130s and they're not the C-17s, they're C-5s, doing, in essence, running the landing and takeoff procedure over Gallatin Field 10 times. Now, that's important, the number 10, okay? And I've reached out to people trying to find out. And so they must be getting ready for something to move a lot. By the way, it wasn't just one specific aircraft was 10 times, but then there were a couple other, I think there were a couple C-17s doing the same thing. The same thing, meaning circling the runway, probably in a 50-mile radius. And when I tell people they were low, having spent a lot of time in helicopters and pretty good at judging above ground level, they were, you know, they weren't bound by the rules that the commercial aircraft were. And I would say this, the majority of times they were at less than 1,000 feet, okay? And when you hear that going on, so 10 times, so I'm asking the Lord, I don't have an answer, but that was so unusual. So I reached out to some people in the military, Air Force and stuff, and they said, man, we do, you know, approaches and we do takeoffs and we do, you know, a couple, but somebody's spending some serious money burning some serious fuel, getting people accustomed. Now, listen to this, Doug, and you're the investigator to a lot of military aircraft, low and slow. So, you know, saying that, It everything isn't adding up to everything's be rosy. We just had the attempt, and whether it's fake, false flag, whether it's prophetic, Jonathan Cahn, the tabernacle thing that happened with Donald Trump. I want to make this clear. He is not the Antichrist. He did not die with a mortal head wound. And so people are trying to make him the AC. He's not. The real AC will come on the scene, Antichrist, and concurrent with that, I want everyone to understand, this is what's so wonderful about learning what the Word of God says. When the AC appears concurrently, the two witnesses of the Book of Revelation appear to challenge him almost immediately, because we've got the false prophet, we've got the Antichrist who is in place of Jesus Christ, but the spirit of Antichrist now is in the land. So, ladies and gentlemen, and I go back, Doug, to a show we did, and you probably remember this. I said, the only thing we're going to be able to keep is that which we're willing to fight and die for, whether it's our freedom, whether it's this, that, or the other thing, or our families. And I know that you talk to people, a myriad of people across the country, and everyone is saying the same thing. There are no exemptions. Now, there can be exemptions for, you know, your best life now people, you know, or, you know, the ones that have got enough jets to probably fly the entire towns are in and out. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the common believing Christian. And what happens, and I know this for a fact, the minute adversity comes, the devil shows up and says, see, that's what happens when you serve God. I can't tell you how many times I heard that in the night. My definition of night is 2 to 3 2-hour periods of sleep. Everything else is the day into the night. But where this is critical, ladies and gentlemen, I came to the conclusion in the time that God has given me and is giving me that we cannot fight this in our own strength, okay? Now, saying that, each one of us can have God's strategy for our own lives. If the 139th Psalm, one of my favorite, talks about no more numerous than the sand of the sea are God's thoughts that he thinks towards you and towards me, then, ladies and gentlemen, he's got eternal thoughts. So I don't think he's going to, you know, have to search very far to find out what you can do. And I want to say this: intercessors have the highest role in the kingdom of God. They're not the most visible, but just remember this, ladies and gentlemen: Jesus is the high priest of our confession. There's no one that stands between me and God, and I can approach the throne of God through the blood of Jesus. And that's why the control freaks that want to have a religious dogma says you've got to go through this, you've got to go through this, you've got to go through the priest, you've got to go through the prophet, you've got to go through the Virgin Mary. No, we absolutely go directly to Jesus Christ once we're born again. And Doug, this is the thing that the devil has blinded us to, and that's why I believe that there are so many unanswered prayers. And where I'm at in my life today, August 1st, is simply this: God, you told the people when Jesus was being harassed by all the religious, all the legal systems, Pharisees and Sadducees, you told them, look, if you won't believe me for the words I speak, believe me for the acts I do. And I think the miracles I do. So here's the thing. The praise of men is a trap. The flattery of men is a destructive trap. You can never please everyone all the time. And the only one we should all be worried about pleasing is God all the time. So if you have a bunch of guys going down on the Titanic, and the Titanic is, let's just say this, hull up in the air, and the first mate is hanging on to where he's hanging on to, and he says, Captain, we've hit an iceberg, and we're going down. And the captain turns to him and says, well, we're still above water. That's the attitude that sucks. By the way, the captain of the Titanic didn't escape with water wings. So I think it's important. Look, we maybe the Titanic's too unfair. Maybe we should talk about the USS Good Ship Lollipop, okay? And I think that we keep on getting licked, but how long before our final tick? In other words, our final tick is here. So the word absurd means there is no way to put into what's happening now into any type of historic context or one that a rational person could even understand. Go ahead, Doug.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking of all of the events that happened since you and I last got together on the air. And I mean, when you look back over that time, It's been 10 years worth of headlines 10 years ago, perhaps, where we're at today in that during that same time period. In other words, you've had so much happen. Obviously, the debates that exposed the frailties, the cognitive impairment of Biden, which I believe is a planned event. To show the world that this guy is cooked. He's gone mentally. And then you had the assassination attempt of President Trump. And I think what we saw after that, we saw a humbled Donald Trump after immediately following that, at least for a little bit, and him recognizing the fact that, but not for the hand of God, you know, he wouldn't be here today. And sadly, a firefighter lost his life, and two others were very seriously injured. And so we went through that, and then we saw the coup of the Democratic Party by the left. I don't even like to call it Democratic, but we saw the coup take place as a result of the bad poll numbers and the debate performance and just a number of other things. Yet the press, as well as others, so many people covered up for Biden's impairments. But again, nothing will ever happen. So we've seen quite a bit since your last appearance on this platform. And the reason I bring all of this up is because everything that we're looking at is to me absolutely absurd. It's absurd to see what happened with the Olympics. It's absurd that so many people have lied on behalf of a man in the White House to cover up, to retain power. So all of this is absurd politically and even in the moral fabric of our country. So you're exactly right. But you know, how much further down are we going to be dragged, you know, before we hit that tipping point, I guess?
I think this is the, here's what people have got to resolve. If God is going to judge the nation using Russia or China or most likely Iran, and we'll get into some stuff going on right now that I want to bring people up to date with, as in the last 12 hours, we're going to get hit very, very hard. It's, you know, you've talked since we've been together, Doug, decades about all the different visions from George Washington, Henry Groover, A.A. Allen, A.C. Valdez, Dimitri Dudeman. And what is the disconnect is simply that people don't believe, and I'm telling you point blank, people don't believe God said he will do what he's going to do. They just don't believe. People don't believe that God has, because of his position as the creator of all, not just some, all things, he is the one that can set the rules. I'm not talking about a harsh God. I'm talking about a love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. But ladies and gentlemen, if you think what Jesus has done for you, and this is something I'm doing, not only am I counting my blessings, I'm making sure and asking the Holy Spirit to help me not to miss any. You know, and I, you know what I was going to title this show today? The Last Flush, okay? Now think about this. The power goes out. There's no water. Obviously, you got to eat. Obviously, you got to drink water. But what do you do with the waste? So the last flush. I'm not talking about a royal flush. I'm talking about when all of the most blessed benefits of God having bestowed upon our nation. Look, we were the ones that had total indoor plumbing before, I think, what, 90% of the world? Yeah. But the last flush, and let's kick that around. Oh, I'll say this very, how should I say this? Very carefully, but I don't think even people think that far, okay? And so, ladies and gentlemen, so where do you go to the bathroom when there's no power? Where do you go to the bathroom when there's no water? Where do you do your business when business calls? Are you ready to, you know, go out in the park and dig your night hole, in essence, and cover it up? But ladies and gentlemen, this is the blessing. And again, Doug, there was no sense of trying to be sensational or crude. But we're all facing that time of the last flush. If any of you ever had the power in your house go out and you have no water coming in and you got to go, you got to go. And so the thing that I think is important is that with the last flush comes the most explosive, I'm looking for that word, introduction of all the pestilence and disease that comes along with the inability to process sewage. Now look at the West Coast. The West Coast is literally beaches upon beaches, miles upon miles, tens of miles. There's so much human waste, and what most people never dealt with was not just the ramifications of human waste, but what I dealt with, remember 20 years ago, Doug, excreted pharmaceuticals?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And so now you've got mutations within the different viruses, within the different bacteria, within the different stuff that can make you really sick and cause you to die. But it's not only on the West Coast, it's on the East Coast, you know? And ladies and gentlemen, we're, as a nation, we're drowning in our defecant. And that defecant is not just body waste, but the winking at sin. And Doug, again, if I could say, somebody said, what's your last words? What will they be? America perished because there was no fear of the living God in the land. And it's only through the fear of the living God that men depart from evil. Look, men are embracing evil. Look what we put up with. And I got to tell you something. I am so sick of people trying to be hip, you know, with their what color is it? Pink. Some of them are fighting me for emerald green or whatever, lime green. I'm looking for some gloves for my walker that, you know, they're bright lime green. Yet everything is saying, look at me, I'm normal, when everybody goes, that's one sick puppy. That's not just my opinion, that's history's opinion. You've had screwball groups through history, but common sense, and I would say this, the dignity that God gave the Western, especially the Renaissance forward, that's why I named my company Renaissance Precious Metals, by the way, because when you look at the Renaissance of art, when you look at coming out of the Dark Ages, what an amazing period. Yet why is it that we've been so blessed that we're the most quiet ones? We don't want to rock the boat. Well, I got news for you. I would love to rock the boat on the Titanic to keep it from going down, you know, basically the way it went down. So we're a sinking ship. And I think that all of this political absurdity is nonsense. Now, may I transition to what's going on?
Oh, people are dying. Yes, people want to hear your take on the events of today. Please, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the number one thing I'm concerned with and what my sources are concerned with is the and I'm just going to read it so I don't mess it up. Expect the Middle East to erupt either just before or just after the funerals of the killed leaders. Obviously, we're talking about the Iranians. Now, in banking, this is critical. You can expect high pressure against J.P. Morgan, Chase, because many high-profile people are going after the bank, and it could erupt into a public fight in a courtroom drama soon. If those of you are unaware of what Chase and the bank, they're trying to weasel out of billions and hundreds of billions of dollars worth of liability they are responsible for. There's no appeal anymore to the courts. And Doug, you were the first guy that was openly talking about the weaponization of law and lawfare against platforms that are telling the truth. So J.P. Morgan, they're all in serious, serious problem. The down detector, downdetector.com. What was interesting yesterday, it was like everything to a moment was shutting down online banking. My advice to everybody, if you are online banking, kill that online banking. Go to a credit union. Go to someplace. I understand convenience. If it's a matter of convenience, let me ask you this. Is it more convenient to lose all your money or less convenient to have to write a check or do whatever? Oh, that's so old-fashioned. Everything has been moved into a digital universe for one reason. Theft and control. That's actually two reasons. So this is what, there's a lot of heavy lawsuits going on behind the banks. There's a lot of heavy money going. Doug, I'm hearing that, and I know Gregory Mannarino is talking about the bond market. I'm hearing, you're hearing me right, 90% discount on bonds by the whales. The whales are wealthy individuals or sovereign wealth funds. 90%.
So that means as we're being told, though, the economy is just fine, right?
How many restaurants have to close?
Yeah.
See, ladies and gentlemen, it's I would call it the, for lack of a better word, the pool table. Once one, when you do your break and you decide what game of pool you're playing, but those balls scatter everywhere. But those are people's lives that used to be waiters and waitresses or chefs or cooks. And you cannot burden anymore. And I want to make this clear. And in my opinion, this is the entire implementation of the forced starvation of the United States population. Kill the workers, kill their access to food, and guess what? You don't have to worry about Social Security, Medicare, or any social entitlement programs. You know why they want to do it so fast, Doug? Because they've stolen so much money. The deep state is a real state, and the real state of the deep state is totally Luciferian, love of money, the root of all evil, the control of money, the control of all evil, and now, ladies and gentlemen, We and I believe, Doug, we had some good effect. We broke the story. I don't know if it was you or, you know, in essence, broke the story about the military going to try and feed its soldiers with synthetic meat. Did you see the response?
Yes.
They couldn't keep enough people if that were to happen. So now they're going to feed it to school children. Your thoughts on that? Because in essence, ladies and gentlemen, we watched them kill, murder, assassinate some of the finest men and women in the military because of the shot bull manure. And you know, so Doug, it's ratcheting up, I guess, as well. They're taking it to a whole new level.
Well, that's actually when I was looking at this as well. For people to eat insects, is the Bible says no, we don't do that. You don't do that. However, you know, the depopulation agenda is in play here, I believe, fully in play. From the poisonous injections to which not has a number of effects. Obviously, the death rate, the excess deaths, but also the infertility. I just saw a video about how it affects women, men and women's reproductive systems. So they're obviously wanting us to be dead. Those of us who survive their head fake about the injections, who didn't take them, will be forced to eat bugs or starve, or synthetic manufactured lab-grown meat or whatever gruel that they create. It'll be illegal to own livestock, chickens. Look what they're doing with the bird flu and cows and chickens. I mean, it is so in-your-face obvious that they want us dead, and they're working toward that end. Now, to what you were saying, I think something is going to happen in North America to call that population number down quite a bit, pursuant to the Deagle report. Okay, so whether it be some sort of a limited nuke type thing or a biochemical attack. So I think something is in the immediate offing about to happen to take down the population. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I think you're spot on. And in essence, ladies and gentlemen, there is no set rule for anarchy except destroy everything. I'll give you a good example. There are nuclear materials being looked for right now on the East Coast. How do I know that? Because people who do that sort of thing say, this is what's happening. There is a potential that I think is going to be realized, because the United States, when it basically decided to yield to the globalists, all of our secrets, there are no more secrets. China got everything, courtesy of Bill Clinton first, and obviously Barack Obama, all the secret patents. But what I think people have got to understand, and I hope everybody does, let me give you a good example. I'm going to give an example because this will make it more real. You wake up within a week or 10 days, and you are, pun intended, emotionally blown away because you just heard that Washington, D.C. has been blown away with a 5-megaton nuclear warhead, okay? Not a dirty bomb, but an actual fissionable warhead. I mean, it's a nuclear warhead. It wasn't delivered through a missile first and foremost, but it was strategically acquired and acquired. Everything you want to buy to make one is there. Now, they watch it. We used to have an intelligence agency that would monitor that stuff. But, Doug, okay, you know, we're on at whatever time right now, but let's say in 2 weeks from this exact moment, we hear that D.C. has been hit with a 5-megaton nuclear weapon. That's what's planned, you guys. That's what's planned. So I'm not being hypothetical. I'm giving you a big heads up. Now, oh, everybody, you're just a fearmonger. What happens when that day comes, Doug? I'll throw it right back to you. Because, I mean, this is real intel. People say, well, I don't believe it unless it shows up on the the sheet sheets, S-H-E-E-T, sheets, S-H-E-E-T. In essence, if it isn't the public rag-controlled media, they won't believe it. But because of your investigative skills, genuine compliment, what do you think would be the first response? And we can only hypothecate. Now, they got plans, but what do you think would be the very first emotional, the very first citizens left alive? How would they respond to that moment?
I think, in thinking about this, the people, the average person working, taking care of a family and such, would be horrified. They would be taken by surprise. Now, the audiences, your audiences and mine, and not so much, but again, the people out there that are not paying attention would be surprised, shocked, horrified, and what have you. If I can add this, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, there was a 24-hour period when the people were like, oh my goodness, within the government. We could well be in a nuclear exchange with the Russians, with the Soviets at that time. And what drove it home for people, what a very sobering thing, and this is documented, were when people working for the government met other government workers in survival stores or camping stores or what have you at that time, getting tents and getting preps for this to happen. So, however, back to your question, I do believe that aside from the populist response, the official response of the government, I believe that they would, in this regime specifically, they would roll over and take it and say, look, we have to limit the loss of life and chalk it up for a first strike, one and done kind of thing, and we're not gonna fire back. That's my view. I don't have anything to back that up, but that's what I feel would happen.
Well, I think you'd be right, because here's the thing. The reason I've spent so much time, you've been gracious to let me share it in the private briefings that we put out, warning about there's no such thing as a weapons parity any longer with the United States. That's not, I don't hate my country. I love the republic to which it stood, one nation under God that was formerly indivisible mercy? And I'm sorry, because I'm on the stuff I'm on, but with
liberty and justice for all. I mean,
yeah, liberty and justice. Okay. Yeah. The Bible's clear. Thank you. And again, guys, thanks for bearing, patience with me, because
I could say the Biden, the thing.
Yes.
It's all right.
But with liberty and justice for all, now there's no liberty and injustice for all. The scales of justice no longer exist. The right for a fair and impartial jury no longer exists. America's been Soros-cited, okay? S-O-R-O-S-C-I-D-E-D, because Soros made a pretty brilliant, if you want to destroy, you get control of the local law enforcement, the county attorneys, you get control of all that, and guess what? You don't need massive amounts, you just basically start locking up enemies of the state. And every Christian, please hear me, please take this to the Lord in prayer. You are an enemy of the state that has declared war on the living God. The Democrats and the Republic whores, I call them, zombie cons, have absolutely abrogated, in collusion, using political terminology, they've given our country away. Actually, they sold it. And like one Russian I interviewed 10 years ago said, at least when we betray our country, we go for millions. And he was talking about, I think, Pollard or somebody. That was an Israeli deal. But he said, you're selling your country out for peanuts. The point was, that's how cheap the traitors in this government were back 10 years ago. And now look at it. We've got internal reports from intelligence agencies of how much Chinese money went into the different coffers of the different politicians over the past decade. We're watching China. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to make a statement. When I post something like China's working on the biggest supercomputer in the world, and I say it's already done, I can only make that statement based on people I know who are in that world. And they say it's all to control the thoughts of the American public so they don't come to that realization and wake up moment. And ladies and gentlemen, when it's too late, T-O-O-L-A-T-E, not with God, but there is no political solution for a spiritual problem. There are people who are enthralled with this speech by the former president, or look at Kamala Harris. She raised $200 million in one day. Well, she better learn how to talk in one complete sentence. So why is madness embraced but holiness? And when I say holiness, the reverential awe of the living God. Why do we allow, and God bless, I think Cardinal Vigano, man, I love that brother. He just steps into the fray and starts throwing punches against the apostate Pope and against, and I mean, he's a Catholic. I'm not a Catholic, but what incredible, what would I word? Bravery, honesty, and integrity he has to stand against the most powerful religious system in the world. So we've got to start fighting. Let me get into the other stuff. Bank of America is holding customer money for as many days as they legally can. Ladies and gentlemen, the time is going to be here soon when, and Doug, this is what I'm worried about. And I am worried. The DC scenario is not just hypothetical. I believe it's in play. If it's New York City, and I'm not being casual with millions of lives, I'm just saying this. What happens to the banking system at that point? What happens to the panic when everybody says, oh, no, I got to get money out of the bank? And here's the problem, the disconnect. There's nothing in the stores to buy. The availability is becoming less and less, whether it's foodstuffs, eggs, you know, milk. And ladies and gentlemen, piece by piece, they're killing us. They're not killing us with multiple meal. They're piecemealing away one of the greatest blessings we ever had. And that was the bounty that God had provided through the land he gave to us, through the waters he gave to us. And what do? We basically just go and absolutely squander, mock, ridicule, scorn, butcher babies. And that's what it's called. We sit quietly. And this is the average thing I've heard, Doug. Well, there's nothing I can do about it anyway. Yes, there is. You can begin to pray and say, God, help me to raise me up to be a voice against the workers of iniquity. Look, I don't know when this event's going to happen. Just now, you probably know, as I'm on the podcast with you, now I'm starting to get back to the old Steve, getting fired up. I got to stay so my bottom's on the chair because the legs aren't going to do that. But the point is that we're watching the nations go after the leaders of each nation. For instance, the Israelis have just been warned by their intelligence service that they can't just go freely anywhere now because turnabout is fair play. And what I want people to know, these are real numbers. There are 50,000 active Iranian real ones, trained military, I would call spies, terrorists, but not terrorists. Terrorists is usually independent of a government. Governments can fund them. But I'm talking about trained military specialists that once the United States gets involved against Iran, they will be given the go. And I again, Doug, let me throw it to you on this. What happens if 10, 15, 20 cities all of a sudden go without power just like that? What happens when they go without water just like that? What happens when the banks aren't open? Listen, I hope this scares people into repentance because that's the lateness of the hour. That's where we're at. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. But what I am saying is I'm trying to motivate them to consider we now have the Iranian announcement that they're going to retaliate against Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, Iran, as I've been building my case for Iran for 10 years, historically, they are already a nuclear power. So I don't know where the failure in intelligence is. If I can go out and talk to Joe, who knows Bill, who, you know, used to know the biggest weapons dealer in the world, and he laughs and snickers and said, only in America do they believe their own lies, and they think wishful thinking will stop bullets. So in essence, now we are seeing F-16 sent to Ukraine. Guess what? I think only one out of six of their most highly trained pilots can fly, Ukrainian pilots can fly an F-16. And we've broken every red line. Meanwhile, the United States cannot produce gunpowder, cannot refine uranium. We bought our refined uranium from Russia. We don't have the strategic metals because why? We did the sanctimonious suicidal sanctions against China. Why are we in the basket case wrong? And the only answer is it's the ingredients, or I would say this, the bowl of damnation and the bowl of judgment that's on this land. You can't look at the homeless encampments. You can't see people that are living in their cars that had hope. They had hope for a future. They had a home. And now you throw in the scheme of BlackRock to basically buy up, or companies like BlackRock to buy up insurance companies, then default the property owners on the coverage by raising the prices so much. And guess what? Due to the due on sale clause or due on failure to insure clause, that they, the lender, can seize your property. And think about that, Doug, on a, I don't know what the total mortgage, a total combination of all mortgages in the United States. But when you've got companies that have $1 trillion in assets, believe me, when the financial event takes place, everything is going to go into a fire sale. Fire sale means you'll sell anything and everything, and that's when food will rise. If the Persian Gulf starts up, let's say this today is Thursday, and if this thing goes ballistic, blows up in the Middle East, you're probably looking at $10 to $15 gallon gasoline. So today, hey, everyone, I'd encourage you to go and fill up your tanks. But then I want you to think beyond that. Think about what happens if that happens. Forgive me. What happens when that happens? And what have you thought through, or what have you not considered at all? And see, so in essence, we've been going through this, I'd say almost 40 years of survival encouragement, prepping, homesteading. You know, I remember the old days I did Blueprint for Survival, the name of my show. I had guys, and I know nothing about raising goats, talking about, keeping bees, all these ancillary things that, people could have done 20, 30 years ago. But now, because we've all been, I should say this, put to sleep, we have taken everything for granted, and everything we've taken for granted will be taken from us. And that is a quote you will watch play out before your eyes.
Very well stated, Steve. Extremely well stated. Folks, go to stevecoyle.com, Renaissance Precious Metals, especially if you are a serious investor interested in having physical gold or gold IRAs. Renaissance Precious Metals. I wouldn't go anywhere else but there. Do you feel, I'll pose this as a question. Do you feel, Steve, that we are in this is the globalist final, the evil ones, their final thrust against civilization, Western civilization, white men, white Christians, everything non-demonic. Is this their final push?
Yes, I believe that that's the, the lateness of the hour. That's God's calendar, the four horsemen, the apocalypse. You can't deny they're all in motion. Death, war, famine, plague. You can't deny the, and I'm saying, collectively, we can't deny watching people die and people being put to death, executed, who are elderly, putting them into situations if they're in a hospital, like in New York, taking them out of the hospitals and throwing them into, nursing homes where there were certain death. You cannot look at all of the medical results and say that those things were good, meaning those things are vaccines. And now we're getting prepared for the bird flu. And ladies and gentlemen, keep your eyes out for bird flu and also Ebola and people bleeding out of their eyes, bleeding out of their different orifices. And it's critical. This is, Doug, to answer your question specifically, I'm not going to argue with people that believe tribulation is 7 years. I don't believe that. I believe it's times and a half, 42 months. God does not give the devil double the time he gave Jesus, his only begotten son, and 42 months in ministry. But what I think is important to see, everybody thinks it's so far off in the future, it being the great tribulation. They don't see the tribulation now. You know, it's a great tribulation when you still live in a house and have a couple jobs and can feed your kids. It's tribulation now when you're on the street. You don't have food. You don't have sanitation. You don't have anything. It is a matter of perspective. And that's what I'm saying. The people that don't have money and are being destroyed financially, there's an awareness coming that we have two Americas now. Those that are white, and look, I understand there's black too, but the white, if you will, the white influence in the world, especially the Renaissance, I got news for you. The Renaissance didn't come out of Zimbabwe, okay? And the thing is that if you look at what was built during the Industrial Revolution, if you look at the tycoons, you know, the business tycoons, now, not all of them were good. I'm not saying that. Obviously, no points for Rockefeller and others, you know, the big bankers. But the bottom line is that we're watching the orchestrated, identified, articulated war on whites. And it gets more pronounced. But has everybody noticed that the guys that are the biggest promulgators or promoters of the war on whites happen to be white? That should be a wake-up call. But what happens beyond this? And that's where we're at, Doug, right now. You know, the biggest banks, the Big 12, I'm reading directly from my points I wanted to bring out today. The rest of the Big 12, big banks, are preparing for the global war and how that will affect both retail banking and the markets. It will be shut down for a while. Precious metals are quietly going up and remaining up for the most part. Now, sure, there's going to be variation. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say this again. Having been in the metals business for 40 years, more people will wait to buy gold at $3,000 an ounce when they're convinced it's going up. And, you know, I tried talking to them when it was $1,500, when it was $1,000. I'm thinking of a specific person I've gone out to lunch with a couple times the last 5-6 months. But what is the point that's lacking, Doug, is the assumption you'll be able to buy it when you want it. Same thing like, you know, satellite phones. By the way, if you don't have anybody call with a phone, you probably don't need a satellite phone, but you better have backup power, because backup power for simple little things such as lights, such as charging, whatever you're going to be charging. And ladies and gentlemen, I would say this, get it now. Go to BeReady123.com. Now, I'm a spokesperson for that company. And it's kind of ironic because, you know, I'm one of the guys that started the prep business 40 some years ago, almost more than that now, and in different phases of it. But go to sat123.com. And then I want to share this with you, that we're at a point where we assume our credit cards will work. Have you just had, and I don't know if any of you have had a credit card turned down. I only have one turned down, but I had one stolen. And then when I went to use it, they said, oh, no, there's security, whatever, lockup. Somebody charged like some stupid amount to a card that I had.
Brother, we got about 2 minutes left, man. I don't want to rush it, but we have about two minutes.
No, 2 minutes, yeah. But what I'm saying is this. Please get what you're going to get while you can get it. Think of sanitation. Nobody ever talks about that on talk radio. I know they don't. Sanitation is critical. And then start implementing your day with a checklist of gratefulness. What are you grateful for? What are you thankful for? And if you don't know Jesus, you're in the world without hope. If you do know Jesus, even whatever happens to you, you go immediately to be with the Lord Jesus Christ when your life is no longer on earth.
You know, that's the bottom line. I think we have to be grateful for what we have. We have to repent for what we've done or failed to do. And we have to live, I believe, like every day could very well be our last day, and prepare accordingly. I think this was a great show. Steve, I want to thank you. And I also want to, again, folks, it'd be a shame if you happened to wish Steve Quill a happy birthday tomorrow, but what do I know? But you're looking good. God bless you. You're looking strong. Get some rest, and we'll talk later.
Thank you, Doug. Blessings to each and every one of you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Folks, that was Steve Quill. Good friend. Great, great guy. And I'll tell you something. Earth and the Crosshairs, if you haven't gotten the DVD, man, get it now. Video on demand. It's great. All right, folks. Don't forget our supporters meeting this Sunday.